Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. We've moved it up an hour. The other one has been archived, the Doc Talk podcast by Dr. Greg Roscoe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is the Sports Talk Saturdays, hosted by Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, co-host Scott Morgenroth in South Florida, producing yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. 347-205-9631 goes by quick. Catch the archive, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, how are you and how can people get a hold of you before I give it over to Scott?
Okay, I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com or Facebook. And right now I'm wondering about that battle between the Hatfields and the McCoys, that being Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee State. Just kidding. You know, I got a little action on that one. Just seeing, wow, did they beat Miami? Maybe they're good. Anyway, you, Scott.
I hate it when you bring up Middle Tennessee and Miami. Bruce, you can't do that to me. One damn loss after another. Please, Bruce. You're my friend. I don't want to hear about Middle Tennessee State again, please. And I'll be doing our show next week outside of Joe Robbie Stadium. I'm at home for today, so today's a little bit of a break so I could do this show early. But to get a hold of me, you can just go to follow me on Twitter at Tribune South. That's the @TribuneSouth, or look up South Florida Tribune. Or please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. South Florida Tribune YouTube channel via YouTube, and then you'll get to see myself and Mark Mancini going at it face-to-face on Monday night, as well as all the other shows we have, and we're waiting for you to get a camera, Bruce, so you can join the parade.
I know.
Sports Talk Saturday, Sports Talk Monday. If we have to move, come up with a spinoff, don't worry.
Notice Scott, Bruce, said he's home today. Well, the Dodgers will be home tonight. So here we are going to lay this scenario out, because I have been hearing this from the dragon in this city for a long time. The red-headed stepchild, 130 miles to the south, doesn't belong, can't do this, can't do that. Let me tell you something. They have just shut the Dodger offense completely down. This is a team that holds flags on divisions and club records. Win a real World Series, my friends. The Marlins and the Royals have won one before you guys have. I don't count 2020. I don't care who the hell counts 2020. I'm not counting 2020 with your World Series. But how funny is this as the Padres beat them at their own game, pitching, and the relief pitching has completely shut the Dodgers down. I mean, the Padre bullpen is lights out. Runners in scoring position, guys left on base, strikeouts, the whole nine yards here. The Dodgers can't seem to get it going. And now the Padres are going for the kill tonight. Joe Musgrove, one run in pretty much his last five outings. I think it's over, Bruce, and then we'll give it over to Scott for some take on this. But I know you're happy, not as happy as I am.
No, and it's surprisingly so, but yes, I am happy. Yeah, you've anti-Dodgered me over the last few weeks. You're right. What can I say? I did watch a lot of that game last night, and you're adept. Stranded runners, and, you know, they practically airless baseball. I mean, what can I say? I'm not just because it's the Dodgers losing. I like Bob Melvin a lot from his time here in Oakland, so more power to him. It's kind of like Dusty Baker. He's a Bay Area favorite. Yeah, go Padres. Scott, take it away.
Hey, Mark, let me tell you, before I take it away, Bruce, I have every right to be home at least for this show today, even though I'm covering the Owl Bowl tonight between Florida Atlantic University and Rice Owls. So I don't mind spending a little afternoon here relaxing, because, Mark, I know you follow me heavily on social media. I'm not the most stationary target, am I, MM? I get around, don't I?
Yeah, you do get around, but, you know, when you look at the Dodgers, 111 wins, and I don't know what there is to get around. Let me tell you something, Scott and Bruce.
Yeah.
They're already saying maybe Roberts will go. Somebody's going in upper management if they don't win tonight. I know Bellinger's out of there. Trey Turner's out of there. There's a lot of guys that are going to move. But if they don't win tonight, one of those guys in the front office is definitely going. It could be basically Dave Roberts. There's going to be – this is a psychological thing right now going around L.A., let me tell you.
Mark. Don't come off subject, okay? Have I or have I not been getting around for a while?
Right.
Right? Okay. Or are you just saying right to agree with me? I mean, you know, I'm if it's 1 week I'm in Talladega, the next minute Joe Robbie Stadium, and next week I'll be down. But the reality is the situation. Let's just break it down in terms of how it is. Yeah, you've done a good job anti-dodgering a lot of people. I swear you're the loudest person on the planet when it comes to hammering them. But here's where I have to give you your props, Mark, okay? Number one, the Dodgers have won 111 games. The Seattle Mariners won 116 in 2001, and that was a huge disappointment. You could call it a old President's Cup trophy in hockey, having the most wins, but until you get it done in the postseason, it is no good. Also, let's keep in mind, should the Padres win this series, which now they have a really good chance at doing it, okay, they could be thankful that the Cheeseheads contributed to this one because Josh Hader has reinvented himself with a couple of saves as well. You know, they have a pretty good lineup, but a lot of these games with the Dodgers have been relatively close. It doesn't matter how well you dominate a team in the regular season. When you get to that series format, it's just you against them, then that's when it changes. I've seen this drill so many times in sports that, all right, you beat them in the regular season, get to the postseason, different animal altogether. So, oh, Mark, I got to tell you, I have never seen a guy more boisterous on social media hammering a team than you have boisterous. And it's gotten to the point, though, I have to admit to you, though, Mark, that it's been entertaining to watch you really, you know, if there's one thing I can tell you, and I said this a week ago, and I'll say it again, consistency, Mark, and you are definitely the art of consistency. You've jumped on the Jacksonville Jaguars for a while, and I think the Jaguars will still be fine before it's all said and done. And now you got the consistency program with the Padres. So, you know, now I'm actually looking for the Padres to close out the Dodgers. Now, to answer your other question, if indeed Roberts is the casualty because of that, okay, if there was a new manager that I would predict, I would say Mike Socia would be the likely successor to return to Dodger Blue. There would be one candidate, it would be Mike Socia. He won a championship with the Angels, and there's no question with the plethora of talent that he'd have with the Dodgers. You don't need to have a lot of interviews. You put Mike Socia on speed dial. Mike, come on in. We want to talk to you. Don't let him out of the building with a signed contract. Let's see another championship here with a team where you help guide the Dodgers to some great times. That would be – you're only looking at one candidate and only one. And I will tell you, one of my guys on one of my shows has been talking about Socia for the longest time. So put it this way. Yeah, but you're right. An axe is going to fall. I don't think it would be on Friedman. I think it would likely be on Dave Roberts. I really do. The manager
– That's a great point. Great point across the board, Scott. And – man, I couldn't have said it better. What's your take on this, Bruce? You're only 500 miles up north from this circus act.
Well, maybe it's me still checking the cobwebs out of my head, but yeah, Mike Socia is completely logical. I mean, I know I disliked him intensely as a player, of course, because I'm a Giants fan. But I couldn't see anybody else really. That's perfect. It would be the manager. I see Dave. I shouldn't even think about it until the series is over. But yeah, I could see somebody's head falling over this. Although, you know, you win a lot of games, sometimes that doesn't happen. But yeah, as much as they've spent, as much as they've hyped their expectations, I could see that happening. And then we find out what happens with Dave Roberts.
Bruce, you know, I hate to bring this up and interrupt you, but he didn't leave, you know, he left there. But I wouldn't mind seeing Don Mattingly return to the Los Angeles Dodgers with all that talent. God only knows he made a lot out of nothing in Miami, although I don't think it would ever happen. But I think he'd be a logical choice, although it's safe to see to me Mike Socia would be the only candidate. But think about Don Mattingly for a minute. You know, I understand he didn't leave on the best of terms there, you know, for whatever reason. And I don't care, but Don Mattingly will get another job. I think he's probably enjoying the downtime with his wife and his kid anyways, kind of just sizing up what's out there. But to me, it would be Socia. But, hey, you know, this is a sports talk show, right, guys? And I try to come up with some realistic, interesting, insightful opinions here. And I try to use my art of consistency with my experience and background in the business forever. But, you know, Mike Socia, Don Mattingly, and I'm sure there's a lot of other candidates out there. I just don't – I think the pool would be very short, especially with all that talent. You talk about 111 wins. My God. He's got to be worth – you have to get to the World Series. If not get to it, in this case, they have to win it. Anything short
yeah.
to me.
Well, you bring up some great points, both you guys do. The only thing here is I think they're going to have to bring in somebody that can, one, gain respect, and two – turn this in the right direction where they're just not winning flags and basing everything on club records. I just think this team is a bridesmaid. I really do. And I just think they need somebody to get them over the hump. Now, which manager gets them over the hump, you know, who knows? But there's going to have to be somebody that's going to have to take this team, you know, and you know, get this thing going. I don't think what's his name is rightfully so. I really don't. I don't think I love Mattingly. I don't think him coming back is going to do it. They need somebody, and I don't know if we all are, you know, in that age group where we can bring up guys like Dallas Green types, Jim Fregosi types. You got to get somebody that can turn this Jim Leland. Somebody like that is going to come in here, one, gain respect, two, stand up to the players, and three, move this thing in a progress more so than a regress. And I don't know who that manager is. They found it in San Diego.
Okay, so let me give you three names. If you don't know, and yeah, I said I'd like to see Manning. I didn't say what happened, Mark. So there's like, and there's perception, and there's reality. So just make sure you understand where I'm going. So I'll give you three names, okay, out there, and let you guys think for a moment about which one. I think Joe Madden would be ideal there, number one, if you're looking
yeah.
at the experience. Bad dealing with the Angels, item number one. Number two, don't rule out Joe Girardi. He won with the Yankees, okay? Give him a lot of talent. Who knows what the hell he'll do with it. But you want to know the real wild card? I'm going to make you guys really think about this, and I will not – win any friends in my second home state of Wisconsin or third. What if they were to go out there and attempt to lure Craig Counsell from the Brewers over to the Dodgers and write him a big fat check, knowing that he's had to make a lot out of minimal resources in Milwaukee? So think about it for a moment. Joe Madden, Joe Girardi, and Craig Counsell. Now, you know what they all have in common, though, don't you? They've all won world championships. Craig Counsell has won championships with the Marlins and the Diamondbacks as a player. Are you with me? Joe Madden, we know
yeah.
what the hell he did out in
yeah.
with the Cubbies. He broke that record. And then Joe Girardi won a championship with the Yankees. The only reason why Joe Girardi failed in Philadelphia is they didn't have suitable pitching and bullpen. So that's what they all have in common. They've all won world championships. But I never said that Mattingly was a candidate. I said I'd like to see him return there, but I don't think it'll happen. I think he'll go somewhere else anyways and probably take a little time off to assess really what he wants to do, enjoy some downtime with his family. And Don Mattingly will be very, very, very selective of his next opportunity. He really will. I don't think he's ready to jump in right away. I could see him taking it 6 months to a year off. You never know. He could return to Miami in a consulting role or whatever for about a year, or a broadcasting role once he has a little time with his family. That's where I think he is. He may be. There's only you got to remember. There's only five managerial jobs out there. Now, if you really want to think about Don Mattingly as a candidate for any job, I wouldn't rule him out for the Toronto Blue Jays job. But he might be the guy,
yeah,
the difference maker there. There's only five openings out there. Five, okay? There's other years. You never know. Don Mattingly's name could come up there. I think they're all right with the interim guy, but you never know. He could return to that division. And let's face the reality. He'd be appreciated in Canada. And more importantly, you know, Don Mattingly to me, and I work with him, you know, so I can, nobody is more qualified. You know, I've interviewed him a lot, and he'll definitely bring a lot of knowledge. And, you know, Tommy Hutton once told me, if you can't play for Don Mattingly, you can't play for anybody. And he's the Marlins broadcaster here locally. So, you know, I can see Don Mattingly again. Now, you're also dealing with another situation. Now, what if the Yankees end up wanting to make a change, depending on Aaron Boone, if they don't get past the Guardians? You could be looking at a sixth managerial opening. So we don't know what Sports Talk Saturday is going to look like in about 2 weeks or so from now if another managerial opening takes place. And then we're having this discussion again. All we're doing is looking at what Sports Talk Saturday looks like as of October 15, 2022. Because there can be another opening or two that we don't have right now. We go from 5 to 7, and then we open this conversation up again. So, you know, just a little something for you guys to think about. But I'll reiterate one more time. Craig Counsell could be had for the right price. And you got Joe Girardi's out there. He's actually living in my neck of the woods in South Florida. And then you have Joe Madden. And let me tell you, Joe Madden, if he were with the Dodgers, if indeed you're talking about that experience, Dan Mark, could be a solution right down the road in Southern California. And I think he'd be well received there. We all know the reason why Joe Madden left. The general, and you know, the front office meddled into his business, and he told them exactly that wasn't going to happen under his reign, and he ended up leaving and took some time off for the summer and still got paid. You know, you don't, if you're an old school guy, you don't need too many analytical people out there trying to tell you what to do and how to conduct business. And by the way, he did win a world championship with the Cubs, so you don't interfere in a manager. A general manager stocks the groceries. The manager has to make sure that he makes the right dishes. And that did not happen with the Angels, and that's a very dysfunctional situation right now. Hey, you think about it, okay, and I hate to knock on the Angels, but wasn't a guy convicted for 22 years in the death of Tyler Skaggs, right? So, I mean, you know, yep. That unfolded this week too. So take it for whatever it's worth, but there's a lot of moving parts to this whole thing, and we can have a lot more answers by the end of the weekend.
Indeed. I think the Dodgers don't make it. I think that's kind of a demoralized team. And I would even say next year, you don't even pick them to win the division. It would be San Diego. I think Joe Madden's a fine choice. Girardi, I don't know, he didn't seem to do well motivating the Phillies at all. I mean, considering as soon as that change happened, things went in a different direction. Yeah, he's won a world championship. It's one of those things where, I mean, he may be, and I'm not saying that Buck Showalter's done by any stretch, but he may have done what Showalter's done, which he gets so far. He's kind of maybe burned out his players or something. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what's going on with Showalter next year or the next couple of years, but he seems to get around. Council's a real interesting idea. I'd go and say it would be either Madden or Mike Socia would be the guys for that job.
Well, realistically, Bruce, you know, yeah. I think down the road, Girardi's going to happen. Once David Ross is done, I predict that Joe Girardi will be the future manager of the Chicago Cubs. He's already doing some part-time broadcasting work. He's from that area anyways, in the Chicago area. So I could see Joe Girardi landing a job with either the White Sox or the Cubs. I don't think he's, but I'm throwing names out there of proven people that have won championships. Again, I don't know. We don't know all the facts that really took place out in Philadelphia about what transpired or not. I know they brought Rob Thompson. That's worked out really well for them in Philly, and they're on house money because nobody expected them to do anything. It didn't hurt that they upgraded their talent base by bringing in Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos. So, you know, again, I do predict that Girardi's next managerial job will be in Illinois. But I'm just throwing it out there.
You guys bring up some interesting things. on this. And, you know, when you talk about managerial, Joe Maddon, I've always liked Joe Maddon as a manager. I think he got a rough go of it in Anaheim, and the Angels got a lot of problems. I mean, you know, they haven't – when you look at two teams that, you know, everybody can rack on my Pittsburgh Pirates, but this is a proven fact, guys, and we bring facts to the table. That's why everybody listens to us. We are now at 385 people at 8:30 in the morning, pretty much in Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, Oakland, and 11:30 back to where you are, Scott. But you got to bring facts behind these things. The Angels and Tigers are the only two teams right now that have had longer droughts in playoff baseball. Yeah, the Pirates are better than those two teams, believe it or not. 2015, I believe, they got here. But the Angels and the Tigers are the next ones. And before that, you could throw the Mariners and the Phillies in that thing. So Angels got problems. But when you look at the Dodgers situation, there is no way you can tell me you bring this whole team back here, managers, GMs, players and everything. You know, it's a psychological thing. And now what's happening is people are listening to the show here and they're basically taking our notes and basically saying, hey, maybe we should run with what these guys are all talking about on Sports Talk Saturdays, because that's what's happening now. People realize that what we're talking about, we're actually right and we're bringing facts behind the table, Bruce. They're not good.
No, they're not. And more power to those. The fate that the Dodgers are enduring right now. What can I say? I think everything's been said about this. The Dodgers they're not in trouble yet. The series ain't over. Although I tend to agree with you, Mark. It doesn't look good for them at all. What I consider the Dodgers' future, if they lose this series, is they're going to be wild card people now, not division champions, man, because the San Diego Padres will be getting Tatis back, and they've obviously shown a willingness to spend money now, so that means they might keep Hader, and it's good. It's good. It could be a changing of the guard if the
Dodgers. Here we go. Let's get Bob in here from Hermosa Beach that's listening to us live while he's driving. He says,
wow.
Guys, I understand. Yeah, you get unbelievable with the technology. You can hear the show as you're driving, Bluetooth it across the airwaves. But he says, guys, you got an interesting show, but you guys don't have no facts. What is your city's one? San Diego has not won anything down there. When was the last time a Santa Clara team has won? And what the hell have they won in Florida? This
hey,
is the city of angels. We've won the Rams, the Lakers, and the Dodgers. So get your facts right, guys, before you get on the airwaves and start spewing stuff that doesn't make sense.
All right, so let me mute that, number one. I do want to mention, though, you say what you want about the Tigers, but they've been to the World Series within the past decade. So they've been to two World Series appearances. They lost to the Cardinals and the Giants, number one. But, you know, so the playoff drought on the surface seems to be a little bit long. In terms of the guy that responded in the state of Florida, okay, my friend, you ever heard of the Tampa Bay Lightning? Guess what, pal? They're pretty good. Okay, so you ever heard of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my friend? Guess what? They're pretty good. Now, if you want to criticize South Florida, well, maybe you might have a valid point, because we haven't seen, although the Miami Heat, I think, were the last team here that won a championship in the area. The Dolphins haven't won one since the 70s. Panthers have only won one playoff series since the 90s. That's a laughing stock anyways over there. So what do I got? The Dolphins, the Panthers. Help me out a little bit. Okay. The Marlins, when they've been to the World Series, they won. So, you know, so you've got a couple of championships there. We did get to the playoffs during a pandemic shortened year, but that's beside the point. But in terms of judging the state of Florida, I think you need to, my friend that's listening, about what have we done in Florida. You know, ever heard of Google? It works pretty good. Okay, just go ahead and Google Florida championships, and I guarantee you, you know, I always have a feeling that thou shalt put thy foot on the ground, not thy mouth. Okay. And, you know, so, and one of those cases that you put the foot on the ground, not thy mouth, when you're dealing with a guy who's only been a sports person for the better part of close to 60 years, but my dad raised me the right way and mentored Detroit, and I tried to go out there and take it into the media like you never visualized it could happen. So anybody that wants to bait us on this show, you better do it, and you better do it with a little more credibility. Now, I don't know about Santa Clara. I don't know about championships in those areas. I'm on the East Coast, not the West Coast, so I'll take the fifth on that one, but I won't take a fifth on the other stuff. So what are we smoking? I don't know. I actually missed my two strawberry margaritas last night because I decided to watch the Detroit Red Wings and Montreal Canadiens last night here, and it was neat, you know, seeing the old original six. So, but I can rest assured I'll be having my strawberry margaritas the next day or two anyway. So, but I'm alive and well for this early show, and I'm thrilled as anything that I can watch my Wolverines and the Penn State Nittany Lions. So that's okay. This could not have worked out any better. Bring it on, man. Anybody that wants to date us, if Mark and Bruce don't have the facts, you got to go through me. I'll be their bodyguard. I'll be their Rosie Grier, okay, although it didn't help RFK when Rosie Grier was his bodyguard. He still got killed, but that's okay. I'll guard my two guys. Mark
okay.
and Bruce are my guys. I got to protect my two guys here.
You could be the cape for us matadors. The cape for us matadors out here. How dare he criticize the Santa Clara startups? I mean, the San Francisco 49ers. I'm going to tell you this. You can't. The Rams have one championship, and I don't think they're going to get any further than that. I think the Niners are better, and the Giants have done pretty well over the last decade. So, I accept, no, that's not happening here.
Well, let me say, other cities have not won that many championships. Hey, my friend, if you want to pick on cities, why don't you pick on Cleveland? They're an easy pinata to kick around. They've only had one in how long? You know, and you can't criticize Wisconsin. And I'll tell you why, because as long as you have Green Bay that has a resident there, then in my opinion, the Packers take the heat. Of course, the Bucs did manage to win one, too. So.
Bucs just won.
Yeah, so, you know, there's other cities you can kick around, pal, but not San Francisco, you know, go ahead. You know, there's other ones. And, you know, you want to go ahead and if you're on Twitter at Tribune South, I'll be more than happy to give you the rundown on that. And we can enter into a nice debate. I'm bringing on. I don't really care.
And
well,
the Giants aren't winning because we've been sabotaged with the general manager and a manager, but we're both Dodger guys before they became us. There's some chicanery going on there. Just kidding.
Hey, we got Al coming in from Poway, basically saying go Padres tonight. But he goes, the Bruce Sutter passing, man, that was sad, and man, that was. Scott, I'll let you go first. Give it over to Bruce, and I got a comment on this, man, that floored me.
Yeah, 92 hasn't been too kind for the Cardinals recently. Mark Littell, who was a regular on my broadcast all the time, one of my baseball analysts died a few weeks prior, and now the Bruce Sutter one. So, yeah, rest in peace, Bruce. Here's a guy that made it by 76% of the votes, got 300 saves. He's one of the best natural closers out there. So rest in peace. We were at the Hall of Fame. I saw his plaque out there. But also I want to give rest in peace to Mark Littell, who appeared on my network numerous times, gracious with his time. And, you know, those are two relievers on that 82 Cardinals championship team. You know, I mean, and those relievers back then didn't have one-inning saves. They ended up pitching two or three innings, unlike today's specialty is what you have. So, you know, how do you judge relievers from era to era? You have the one inning or one and one-third or whatever save, but these guys went three. And I will say this about the Padres. Say what you want about them, but these guys are not afraid to spend any money. They've proven that they will spend money with that new stadium that they have. So I think now that they have the right manager in place with Bob Melvin, they'll be contenders for a long time. I really do. So, you know,
indeed.
Rest in peace for and Mark Littell.
Yeah, Bruce Sutter, kind of a revolutionary if you think about it. He probably was the inventor of the split-finger fastball. They used it all the time. He was impossible to hit. I certainly remember that and very successful, sort of a revolutionary in a way. So yeah, RIP, that one's sort of like, wow, that kind of nipped me when I saw that. Another piece of my youth. Rest in peace, Bruce Sutter. What can I say?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Bruce and Scott. The three best relievers I saw growing up was Raleigh Fingers, Bruce Sutter, and Goose Gossage. And now we're getting people coming out. I see Phil out there in, Phil's in your neck of the woods, Boca Raton, Florida, listening. Hi, guys. He said, what about Lee Smith? I wasn't a big Lee Smith guy. I really wasn't. He reminded me of Kenley Jansen in some ways, the delivery of the ball going to the plate. I wasn't a big Lee Smith, but, man, Bruce Sutter with that split finger and, you know, it just dropped on you. Goose Gossage with heat and Raleigh Fingers, man, the mustache, the outfit, man. Unbelievable with the Oakland A's.
Well,
who was your three, Scott?
Growing up in my neck of the woods, two guys that really stood out. Mark, you might remember them. John Hiller was a big part of the Tigers 6-8 championship. And Willie Hernandez was acquired in a trade in 84 that made the difference of the Tigers winning that championship. So they were pretty good. You know, I mean, but I like Raleigh Fingers. I mean, again, you're talking guys that were multi-inning relievers that got saves. Okay, you didn't have the old setup role, the middle guy, and all this other business. These guys went two or three innings a game. Hell, even John Smoltz, to me, reinvented himself from a starter to a reliever and probably won as many as 500 games in both roles. Dennis Eckersley was yet another one, a starter slash reliever, and those guys won 500 games between their saves and their regular one-loss record. So, you know, and you know what? When you talk about Bruce Sutter, you know, Jack Morris learned the split-fingered fastball. He took that pitch on, and pitchers will experiment with so many different things in spring training, and Jack Morris did incorporate the split-finger fastball. So, you know, and then you talk about revolutionary. You know, what about Tommy John? Although he's not a reliever, but Tommy John's surgery has revolutionized the game of baseball even then before now. But I want to get too far off topic. But John Hiller, if you Google him up, and Willie Hernandez were really good relievers, and they were on championship teams. And again, they went multiple innings is what they did. And they had championships to show for it. I mean, we could do a show strictly on some of the best relievers of all time. San Diego and Milwaukee people can include Trevor Hoffman into the mix if they want.
Yeah.
And look good doing it, too.
Well, any cheek on that? Let's get into the other baseball playoffs. Boy, this show is flying. We've hit almost 500. Bruce, where do you want to go with this? I mean, the playoffs are looking good. Seattle is still Houston's bitch on this. No matter when they play, how they play the game, Seattle just can't seem to beat Houston.
Yeah,
they can't beat Jordan Alvarez. Just remember.
He's a responsible party there. What can I say? It's been a good year for Seattle, but that one I consider a done series. I think that the Philly-Atlanta thing is a little bit of a shocker. I kind of liked Atlanta's makeup and everything. I wasn't expecting this, and they got bombed yesterday. And you hope the Phillies almost have to win after enthusiastic bat throwdown there for Breece Hoskins. You got to win this, man. What do you guys think?
Well, Philadelphia is on house money. Hard to imagine me saying that they're on house money. Let the manager go the middle of the year, right? And all of a sudden, they're beating up on the Braves, a team which the defending world champions is what they are. I mean, if you've ever seen a team on house money more than the Philadelphia Phillies, you let me know. In terms of the Houston-Seattle series, Scott Service was the guy that I thought would have been on the hot seat earlier in the year. But you talk about taking control of that franchise and winning with the group that he's got. To me, I think Seattle they won't be waiting 20 years to get back to the playoffs again with the nucleus that they've got in place. But getting back to the Phillies, I mean, geez, you want to talk about your old powerful lineup when you have Bryce Harper, who could play in any era. I love watching Bryce Harper play. If there's ever an advantage of seeing the Phillies and the Marlins division, I could go down there 2-3 times and watch Bryce. I never get tired of watching this guy. And then you got Nick Castellanos, Rhys Hopkins, Kyle Schwarber. You don't get a break in the lineup, and they're finding a way to piecemeal some pretty good pitching. Really, I mean, more power to the Phillies. Hey, you know what? I know they can be tough on players, fans, on anything else, but they're, tell you what, this team is sneaky dangerous. Well, maybe not sneaky dangerous. They're just plain old dangerous what they are. And the Yankees and Guardians series, the only thing that's happened there is Aaron Judge is really having a rough year. He really, really is, and they need to get it figured out pretty quick. Or that regular season that they had, they only won 99 games. There were four teams that won 100. I thought the Yankees were going to be one of them. But the Astros, I think, are the team to beat anyways, not only in the American League, but they can end up winning it all. So the more these teams knock out the other ones, I think the Astros' road becomes a little bit simpler. And tell me a person who's not rooting for Dusty Baker to win it all. I mean, I know I'd like to see Dusty Baker win it all. Justin Verlander's there, but Dusty Baker, if he goes out there and wins it all, do I think he would retire after next year? No. But if he did retire going out on top, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for him either. But Dusty has that fire burning, and I've heard nothing but good things about Dusty.
Same here. And it would sort of be like a Bay Area World Series for me if it was a Melvin Baker thing. More power to those teams. That's where I'm kind of – how I'm rooting at least.
That's a unique point. That's a really unique point. A Melvin Baker series. You know, Bruce, if you ever need another day job, you can go ahead and write for South Florida to you if you want. I'll just take you for the and you can describe, I'll have you as an additional contributor once in a while. The Bay Area Minister of State, seriously.
Wow.
Okay.
Good. Well, somebody just sent me something, and I think this is in Kalamazoo, Michigan, jumping in here. Mike says, hey, being a Detroit Lion fan is a life of disappointment and bad eating.
From Boca Raton to Kalamazoo, Michigan. I was one of the two states that I invested interest in. Repeat that one back to me again. I need to hear this one twice.
Being a Detroit Lion fan is a life of disappointment and bad eating.
Well, I don't know what he's eating, but I'll tell you, when they haven't won a championship since December 29th, 1957, on my birthday, 5 years before I was born, I can appreciate the first part. Now, I don't know what he's eating, so I'm going to kind of wonder, you know, are you, you know, I don't. What are you eating, pal? Let me know. We'll see how bad eating is. Unless you're eating all that junk food with the turnover that they have or every coaching error that they have. So I don't know about the eating part. But,
well,
yeah,
good grief.
Anything you want to add to that, Bruce? That's funny.
There's great Greek food in Detroit. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of good food in Michigan, unless it's near Battle Creek, so maybe you just eat cereal. I don't know.
If you ever go to Metro Detroit, folks, the Coney Islands are to die for. They're really good. Have you ever had a Coney Island, Mark? You know what one is?
Yeah, I know what one is.
You know? Yeah, they're really good.
I was strictly on
Greek. I don't know what he's eating. I don't know what he's eating there, but yeah, that's a funny one.
Yeah, no, I think
any surprise of the Yankees and, the Guardians now? It's kind of hard to figure that one out, but they're the Guardians. But anything on that series? I still like Cleveland.
I actually thought the Yankees would sweep them in three, but shame on me. Thankfully, all I do is write, and I'm not a prognosticator. Otherwise, takes would go to the toilet anyway, so... But with all due respect, Cleveland has a puncher's chance with it going to Cleveland. Go ahead, Bruce.
Oh, yeah, but the situation with Judge, what, he struck out like 7 of 8 times the last time I looked.
Yeah,
you're nullifying him. What I find interesting, and somebody mentioned to me, is, you know, after this year, if you sign Judge, you've already got Stanton on a huge contract. Can they afford that?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, they own Bruce. They own their own TV network, yes, which is a real profitable venture for them. And the sign renters have a lot of money. So, but them owning their own. You know, one thing about baseball compared to football is, you know, you do have the haves and the have-nots. Where football is more of an even playing field with parity, where everybody gets an equal piece of the pie. Baseball, not the case. So, yeah, I'd say they could. Question is, what the Yankees with judges, how far is their, where does their bottom line end? And then, you know, are they going to get outbid by somebody like the Cubs? I've heard the Cubs could have interest, and Giants could have interest.
Giants.
And the Giants, yeah, I've heard a lot of interesting. I can't see him going to the Mets. I really don't. I mean, I mean nothing against the Mets personally, but if you're going to play in the Big Apple, you play for the Yankees. But,
ooh,
you know, Cubs, well, yeah, I probably will alienate a few people out in Queens. They'll probably make me look, the people in Queens might say, I'm not sending you a Christmas card. Well, generally in New York, they don't send Christmas cards, but if you want to send me a Hanukkah card, that's okay.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I don't want to beat this one because we've already talked about it, but, you know, Joe Musgrove getting the ball tonight in San Diego, this is interesting. The San Diego native threw a no-hitter in his backyard. He closed out the, you know, in that big game against the Mets. He has a chance to push these guys who the Dodgers have beat like a drum the last 6 months. He has a chance to close these guys out tonight. Boy, everything rolls in threes.
Yeah, but, Mark, you know what's interesting about Musgrove, though? And, you know, I like Buck Showalter, but I had a hard time understanding why he had everything checked with Musgrove with all the, you know, that situation where they're looking at his glove, hair, or whatever the case. I think
he is here.
Yeah, right. I think he may have crossed the line there. Really? I mean, you have to do this in a game like that. Buck, I'll endorse you 9 out of 10 times, but that wasn't a move that I was really drinking the Kool-Aid on. I really wasn't. I mean, Musgrove kept it clean the old game. Now you're looking to make a move like that, which amounted to nothing anyway. If anything, Musgrove handled it the right way. Walking, ain't nothing wrong with me. The only thing wrong with you is you guys, not me. And he ended up, Joe Musgrove got the last lap in that situation.
Well, it's a good way to break momentum.
Well, not only that, you know, what the problem is these guys have come together now, and Josh Hader reminds me of Josh Hader, you know, a few years ago. It just lights out, you know, fastball. You can't catch up with that.
No. Yeah, I've been very, very impressed with what I've seen of him in the series. I guess
it told him.
Yeah.
He's got it. Go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah.
What about anything? What stands out to you in surprises? Is there a surprise in college football today, guys? It's not really a surprise, but I think USC to me is going into Utah and beating them.
I'm agreeing
with
that.
Same thing. Yeah, you know what, Mark? I wouldn't ask to make predictions this week on other platforms, and I like USC and Lincoln Riley. I really do. In fact, I like what UCLA's doing, too. Actually, both the LA teams are doing pretty well. They're getting ready for the Big Ten. We'll see how they end up playing in December or November when they're playing in slip slide on the snow and the ice. We'll see how, instead of all those nice controlled climates. But, you know, I kind of like the USC over Utah. I believe that's what they're playing, right? Yeah, I'd go all
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
The game
I don't know. Hey, guys, I don't know what's going on. Today there's so much football, man. There's everything on it. You know, I got the Lightning and the Penguins I can watch. I can watch USC, Utah. You got the Dodgers, Padres. I mean, it just – and then if you want to go before all that, you got the Tennessee, Alabama. You got, like you said, Scott, you got the Penn State, Michigan. We've got Carl coming in, and Shreveport, Louisiana. He said, guys, I just want to let you all know about this. You guys are all talking about teams here. Long live Oklahoma State. They're going to bury TCU today. I don't take these teams in America's Heartland too serious. I don't know about you, Scott, or
yeah.
Bruce.
No, and the one I'm looking at is Alabama seems a little bit vulnerable. I kind of like Tennessee.
Well, they are vulnerable.
I don't know about that, man. Good teams win at home. Great teams win on the road. And, you know, I saw what they did with, Texas A&M. This is a team, they Alabama knows when they're Arkansas, they went into Arkansas, they quieted the crowd, they ran a streak, and then every time Arkansas tried to make a run of it, here came Alabama to bust them out again.
Yeah, but Alabama's trying to put themselves out, Mark. Think about it. You didn't have Bryce Walker, right, the quarterback last week, so they barely eked out a win against Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M. Their chances are really dependent upon whether this kid plays. And don't underestimate Josh Heupel. He won a national championship in Oklahoma, and he had some success at Central Florida, and he may have found himself the right situation. So, you know, again, the only way Alabama does win is if they have their number one quarterback there. Otherwise, Tennessee could possibly pull off the upset. I don't remember the last time Tennessee beaten Alabama, so I don't really want to go down that direction. But, you know, let's face the reality, okay, Texas barely lost to Alabama, so I'm not sure what if Alabama knows its identity yet. You know, it's not like they're blowing every team out. It's not like they could be a clear-cut favorite to reach the college football playoff. I don't know yet because I think we've seen a lot of different looks is what we've done. So there's a lot more conference play to be played out. Now, I'll tell you what, though. Here's a team you guys might want to watch out for in the Southeastern Conference. In fact, two of them. Watch out for Lane Kiffin with Ole Miss because I'll tell you one thing. They're getting the offense situation figured out. And Mike Leach of Mississippi State with that air raid offense, holy moly. I mean, don't be surprised to see him rating that conference in terms of offensive numbers with these teams that have been at the top of the food chain, you know, as well. So watch out for Mike Leach of Mississippi State and watch out for Lane Kiffin. They're quietly going to make noise, and you wonder that as the college football playoff eventually moves to 12 teams in a few years, that you could see some of these other teams enter the mix. You probably could. So Mike Leach intrigues me. I think his teams will score a lot of points, and they could be dangerous. They really could.
Yeah,
indeed.
No doubt about that one, Scott. You bring up some interesting points.
Indeed. What about your Wolverines against Penn State today?
Ah, thank you, Bruce. Glad you brought it up. I'm glad we're doing it there. I'm getting revved up for Wolverines football. I expect the Wolverines to win today. I know their strength of schedule at the beginning certainly has not been great. When you talk about Colorado State at the beginning, Hawaii, and I believe they took on Connecticut. They won a few games on the road, but it's going to be a good test for them. I think it'll be a good test, and, you know, they need it. They're going to be taken seriously in this college football playoff thing. You're talking about a top 10 matchup in the Big House, and J.J. McCarthy's starting to play much, much better, and Blake Corum is a really good running back. So I think Michigan's going to have a battle on their hands with Penn State, but ultimately, you know, they could win by 7 to 10 points. We'll see what happens. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good football game. And like I said, Mark and Bruce, when you guys decide to move the show up, okay, I'm a little bit too old to be jumping cartwheels, but to say that my wife will tell you I was smiling from South Florida all the way to Alaska because you like a wife. So it didn't really break my heart with this time change one bit. I'm thinking, holy moly, are these two co-hosts here read my mind? They know I got Michigan. So Mark said, oh, we'll move you an hour early. Kudos, my friend Mark, my brother.
James, hey, you know what? James from Alpharetta, Georgia, chiming in, says, guys, you got a great show. He'll be at the game tomorrow in Atlanta when the Dirty Birds fly over the Niners. Ooh, that's going to be a good game, man. I like the Falcons. I like the Falcons. They're coming on.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Marco. Okay, I actually, believe it or not, somebody asked me for an upset pick, and I actually predicted Atlanta could beat San Francisco. But the reason why I made the decision to go for that as an upset pick, because teams that come in from the West Coast to the East Coast generally struggle as a rule of thought playing the 10 o'clock game. It'll be 10 o'clock in their mind playing the game in the morning instead of 1 o'clock. So it'd be wise for them to try to get in 2 or 3 days earlier with the time change. It's not like NFL clubs can't afford an extra couple of days in a hotel to acclimate to the time change. But I had a feeling that could be an upset the Falcons could win.
Yeah, I think, Scott, I think from what I remember covering the Steelers and game when I was in San Diego with the Chargers, and we flew to Pittsburgh. We came in on a Friday night to get acclimated to it. So that I remember that San Diego at the time flew in Friday night. You spend the day, the walkthroughs and everything, and you get acclimated and get the hell out of there after the game on Sunday. But yeah, it makes sense. But here's the thing. The 49ers were in Carolina, Bruce. Did they end up staying on the East Coast? Because that makes sense to keep them there on the East Coast and really get acclimated in it where you're not flying back home and then flying again.
That's the big question. That's the big question, because if the Niners did stay there, I think that they handled the Falcons. By the way, you mentioned all these things today, Mark, and Scott, God, is anybody's wife going to stay home? They're all going to get out of the house with this kind of schedule today.
Well, here we go with John coming in from Stone Mountain, Georgia. He goes, guys, did you realize in the heyday, I'm as old as you guys, the Rams, Saints, Falcons, and Niners was the NFC West. Yeah, we remember that.
I remember. That was a geographical error of the highest order. I do remember that.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that division. One of the most entertaining divisions on the planet. The only way you get with that division is because of the NFL, where, you know, you fly in once. You can't get away with it any well. In fact, for that matter, we'll just take it a step further. Once upon a time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run the same division as the
Packers. Yeah, the Central. That's right.
Yeah, well, according to
Chris, I think it was the Bucs. The Bucks, Lions, Bears, and Vikings, and Packers? Was that the division?
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, in fact, I love it because I would take a yearly trip to go on to Tampa because obviously I lived there and graduated from the University of South Florida. I hated when they made that change. That was my opportunity to see the Lions in Tampa every year. I would take trips down there every year because, again, I lived in the Tampa area and I have strong ties there now to see the Bucks. I hated to see that change, but, yeah, Well, if you want to put it that way, let's take it a step further, all right? What about when the Cardinals were actually in the same
division? Yeah, that was bizarre.
Philadelphia. The Cardinals.
That was really – and it's you know what, you guys? It's bizarre now to see Dallas in that thing and not even in – but these teams don't want to knock Dallas out of there, even though geographically Dallas is really traveling here. But they don't want to knock them out of the division – Yeah, you know,
the thing about
the Cowboys
was a historical deal because I think when they entered the first, it was either Tex Schramm or Clint Murchison, one of those guys insisted that the franchise be in that division. It was kind of the glamour division, and at this point, it's way too late to change it, especially when you got guys with power like Jerry Jones. So Dallas, that division's going to hold as it is, but. You're right. Geographically, it was kind of weird, but that goes back to the expansion era, and that's the way it was going to stay.
Well, Bruce, the Cardinals hated it because they – in fact, I met Jerry Jones one time and talked to him after a game. He was really nice to me, Jerry Jones. I was talking to him about the Lions, you know, how Kansas City wanted them to lose the Thanksgiving game because the Lions weren't very good. And Jerry Jones, you want to talk about a guy – to me, one of the most powerful figures in the NFL, was very nice to me. Gave me a few minutes of my own without the writers there. And he looked at me, Scott, I can tell you right now, Detroit, okay, I don't know how to do the Southern dialect very good. Okay, I'm not as bad as Brian Kelly with the Southern twang and all that business. But he told me, Scott, Detroit will not lose that Thanksgiving game. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll make sure it don't happen. Okay, Jerry, I'll take your word for it. You know, I'm seeing Evan Smith right there. But here's the deal, though. I saw the Cardinals and the Cowboys play at Sun Devil Stadium, And I'll never forget, you know, the Cardinals used to draw some massive crowds when the Cowboys came to town, and they hated that too because they loved seeing Dallas there. You know, let's face reality, Dallas is a draw anywhere, but you're talking about the Arizona-Dallas rivalry, you know, the state of Arizona, state of Texas, let alone arguably the biggest franchise in the state anyhow. So, yeah, I could see where a lot of these – I'm glad that this caller talked about the Falcons being in that other division. That was I enjoyed watching games between the Saints, the 49ers, the Rams, and the Falcons. It was pretty – now they've done everything more geographically alignable. I get that, but, you know, you tell your caller here or at least send them some feedback. Kudos, pal. I'm glad you remember that far and allowed us to bring up some other interesting examples. And, you know, I will say one thing about Sports Talk Saturday. We have some of the most intelligent comments I have ever seen. I appear on other platforms as well. But every time I come on this show here, I'm amazed at the amount of intelligence that Sports Talk Saturday brings. And to me, that's what fuels me even more. I love working with you and Mark and Bruce. You guys are my bros anyways. But this audience is one of the best ones that I really, truly enjoy being a part of. You guys are absolutely the best, and we appreciate the following that you guys do week in and week out looking for us. And just keep up the good comments. You guys are – you make us look better than
we are. Well, I tell you, Scott, you really sentimented what, you know, Bruce and I think the same way. I mean, you know, look, we moved the show up an hour. We're almost hitting 600 here. People follow it. And you know what it is? I think it's the regurgitated radio today of sports talk is just kind of falling on deaf ears. It's just all bias. There's no facts sometimes behind it. And now what you're seeing is you can nail these podcasts and bring facts to the table, and people appreciate that. And you're well said. Couldn't have said it any better. Bruce, you have seen it. I mean, you were part of a show, and look what's happening to your show now.
Oh, gee. And by the way, Scott, this compliment here, I'm blushing, and so is every listener out there. God, wow. Okay, I accept this.
I've been in the business for a long time. I know a damn good show when I see one or hear one. And
well, let me just lay out Miguel here from Silver Lake. He's been back here a few times. He said the Dodgers are going to win the World Series this year. I don't know what you guys are talking about. We've beat the Padres and everybody like a drum. We continue the process tonight. We just want to give San Diego a little fun now. We end it tonight. Well, first of all, Miguel, I don't understand what the hell you're saying. You're trying to give us a little fun. We just beat you. You got to win tonight, buddy. What do you mean? We beat
this
us like a drum. Who cares?
This ain't the regular season.
Mark, your voice is raspy, okay? So let me give you some advice. I'm trying to help you out, Mark, okay, from one bro to another, okay? Miguel, guess what, okay? And I'm saving Mark Mancini from himself, okay? Don't worry about me. You know, this is the only show I do today, so I'll be okay. I'll have other things to do, but it won't be this, okay? The Dodgers have to take care of business, not once, but twice. And Miguel, you know, I don't know a lot of Spanish, okay, but I can tell you right now, the games, okay, that the Dodgers have to win is uno, dos, tres, and they've only gotten the uno so far. So, you know, talk to me a week from now. I'm trying to save yourself, Mark. Remember that. You know, I'm your bodyguard. I'm the bodyguard. Come
well,
here.
We're
going to
have Spanish. You know what? We're adding Spanish lessons, Miguel, to this show now on Sports Talk Saturday. So we're gonna learn from you, but you will learn from us. You're going to concentrate on 2023 in March. Focus on Goodyear, Arizona, because that's where you're going to be getting your bats and balls and everything ready for another division title.
Oh, but they're not even going to win the division next year.
Well, for a lot of you folks that may have thought I used a little, foul language, dam isn't by itself because you've got the Hoover Dam, and nobody will say the Hoover Dam, okay, is considered foul language. But the reality is, okay, you know, Miguel, you know, uno, dos, tres gets you to the next round, and then you may lose there anyway. So we'll see what happens. Go figure.
Wow. As we wrap up this great show, basically, Bruce, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I know tomorrow you'll be watching those Niners and Falcons from Dixie.
That's not all I'll be watching. I watch every one of them. I go sports bar, and I am surrounded by TVs. It's my version of heaven. I can be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com. You can also see me on Facebook.
All right.
Scott, you're all over the place. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you know that, Marco. That's for sure. On Twitter, at Tribune South, or look for South Florida Tribune on Twitter, and then you'll find at Tribune South. And more importantly, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Go to YouTube.com, South Florida Tribune. Hit the subscribe button. We're good to go. So then you can see Mark and I on our broadcast on Monday night. So as well,
well
as the ones I got out there. So please
Bruce
subscribe.
Out there in Oakland. Scott out there in South Florida. Yours truly in L.A., heading down to San Diego to get the dirt, the caskets, and everything ready for the big dragon that's going to be dragged up north again. Catch this archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We're back next week. Same time, no. We're back at a regular scheduled time, 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 o'clock Eastern. Till then, have a blessed one, guys. We love you.